Well, welcome back. I'm Harvey Hyde. You're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. We are now landing in South Bend, Indiana, for a weekly, every Tuesday and Wednesday night, Notre Dame football report with a guy that won a national championship there in 1973, Frank Pomerico, number 56. I had a chance to look at the team picture the other day, and there he is, right in the front row in the middle of the picture. Frank, again, I want to welcome you, but before we get to you, I want to thank our sponsor for this weekly segment, which is Station Casinos, their SDN Sports app, the most trusted, reliable way to bet racing sports in the state of Nevada. Sign up today at any of their convenient locations throughout the state or visit stnsports.com. That's stnsports.com for more information. Frank, you had a bye week, my man. How you feeling?
Coach, I'm feeling pretty rested. You see, on these weekends, they get pretty, my nails get pretty short. I get stressed out, but I think this weekend is going to be a nice week to recover from the season so far. Starting at 0-2, it was very stressful, and then winning five in a row, we're sitting in a good spot. This week we have Boston College. But, Coach, there's some big news that is related to Notre Dame, and that's the firing of Brian Kelly. I want to go into that a little bit. I was talking with James Amade this week, and he said Notre Dame fans should be very thankful for Brian Kelly. And I said, and why is that so? He left them, James. He said, well, for two reasons. The first reason is that he won more football games at Notre Dame than any other coach in Notre Dame football history. I said, that's true. That's a good point. And the second thing is he brought Marcus Freeman to Notre Dame and enabling the administration to look at Marcus and say he should be our next head coach. So Notre Dame fans should be very thankful to Brian Kelly for doing those two things. And you know, it's never good when somebody gets fired, but Coach, there are some good things that Brian Kelly did here at Notre Dame. And James reminded me about the BCS game in 2012. I mean, we went through some tough seasons there to get to the BCS game down in Miami, and we were beat by Alabama pretty bad, but we were there, and that is an important thing. I'd rather go to a bowl game and get beat than not go to a bowl game at all. At least you have an opportunity to compete. The other thing about Brian Kelly, Coach, is that he has a history of building good programs. He's disciplined, and he has great organizational skills. I think he gathers great people to be in his staff that can recruit. And the thing that James told me is that Brian is a good closer. He's a great closer when he gets the young man in a situation where he has to make a decision. And he makes it very attractive for him to come on board with Brian's team. And that could be if he's at Notre Dame or he's at LSU or he's at Grand Valley State. He's always been a good closer as far as that is concerned. Now, the things against Brian, though, and I think I'll quickly go through these here. Brian was a smart football coach. What he lacked really was a real deep personal relationship with a lot of the kids. I think one of the things that Marcus does is he gets to know the people real well, the players, and he feels like he's part of their family. And that's another thing that all good coaches have. I think when you look at Nick Saban, he really cared about his players. And he kind of brought them into what he calls is the process. And he gets them to understand that they have to make the decision in order to be great. But it's within them. It's not anybody else is going to do it for them. They have to do it. And that's another thing Ara would do for us, too. He would make sure that we understood that we had an opportunity to perform. And if we took that opportunity and were disciplined in our opportunity, great things could happen. So that was one of the things that Brian kind of lacked a little bit about, really being close to the players. And like overall, Brian did not like to recruit. He was a great closer, but he didn't like to recruit. He liked his assistants to bring him to the end of the game. You know, a coach needs a person as a head coach, and you can understand this, Coach. As a head coach, you're talking, you're not just recruiting the player, but you're recruiting their family, their moms and dads, making them assured that you're going to do everything you possibly can to make their experience on the football field one that's very valuable, where they'll learn lessons of pride, discipline, and loyalty. These are great values to have to take with you onto your journey in life. But the other thing is that you're a surrogate father or a mentor in some ways. And this is something where being close to the player and caring about them getting their degree is something that's very valuable. I think if there are some things that we heard that lacks here in Brian's organization was that personal contact. He didn't embrace really being the head coach in regards to being that mentor, but he was a great football mind, and he was somebody that could organize really well. And coach, he's made $95 million with the LSU Tigers down there. Now, his buyout is somewhere around $54 million. So financially, he's not failing. Although in his eyes, I'm sure his ego, too, wants it to be a successful program where he was going to championships and he was also going to national championships. And that didn't happen. So it was disappointing in that way.
Well, Frank, let's take a look at Marcus Freeman. You're a head football coach here at Notre Dame. Obviously, he's done a tremendous job. He matures every year. His team's played harder. He's learning the role as a head football coach. There's a lot of openings out there. Your thoughts now, Marcus, I have no idea what Coach Freeman makes. He's probably in the $5 million range. Is someone going to be able to come in there and attract him to go to another university, or is Notre Dame going to keep him, or what's the situation there?
Well, Coach, that's a great question. And I think it benefits Marcus either way. And when I say that, what I mean is if he turns down those opportunities, Notre Dame is going to raise the tide. They're going to give him more money to stay because they feel they have a person that they've lived with for 4 years now. And he knows the administration knows him. And I think when you have that kind of relationship and he's doing the right things, he's recruiting the right kind of kid, the kid that they want to graduate and go out and be a productive member of society. Plus, these young men nowadays are making good money. I mean, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's hard to get my head wrapped around that, but it's true. These are like professional players, even though they're young 18 to 22-year-old young men, they're still making a lot of money. But, you know, this is the nature of the game. I think if you look at a person like Nick Saban and you look at Marcus and you look at Ara Parseghian, Bo Schembechler, these guys put their whole life into the game. They put everything they had into orchestrating everything that was going on. That's what a head coach does. And some of them lose a lot of sleep because they're worried about every aspect of the team. But really, they have to be an organizer and take part in either the offense or the defense. To do everything is way too much. So this is something that Marcus has had to learn. This is something that Bo Schembechler and Ara and Joe Paterno, all those great coaches from the past, and Nick Saban, knows that they have to relinquish some of these responsibilities to others. But this week, Coach, we had a really nice week, a week off. I mean, this is the game week, but last week we had a week off. And talking with James about the bye week, this is the second one of the season. In some cases, people and players, they like that routine once the season starts. And when you don't have that routine, it kind of throws them off kilter a little bit. They really get fidgety. They don't know what to do. It's not that regular routine where they get up, they go to class, then they go to lunch, and then they're getting ready for practice, then back and doing their schoolwork, and then relaxing. This is different. Now, this is, you got too much time on your hands. You're going to have some practices, but it's shortened. And then there's film watching. You should do extra film watching, maybe a little less extra lifting. Maybe hitting the books a little bit more. So all these things are really a little bit off key, and some kids don't like it. Now, some players, I should say, don't like it. Now, the good factor of having a bye week is that you're able to rest a little more for the injured players, and they're able to not get banged up as much and be able to ease into the game week. And that's what's happened this week. Now, Coach, this is an interesting game. Boston College is 1-7. They're having a tough year. But, Coach, they have played some good football teams, and they have come very close to winning. Against Michigan State, they could have won that game. They lost 42-40. They could have beat California. They lost 28-24. They played Stanford very tough and UConn very tough. They were in the game. They have some top performers. They have a fellow named Grayson James is a senior, number three. He's come in the last couple of weeks and has thrown for 6 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, and he's thrown for something like 600 yards. So he is somebody that is taking on the reins of being the quarterback there and is doing a great job. Richards has run for 431 yards. McDonald has run for 300 yards. Richards has 5 touchdowns, too. Their receivers are great. They have Bond, have Harris, and Franklin. They have over 100 catches between all three of them. And some of them are transfers from Alabama. And they're just good players. They've just been snake bit a couple of times. And I think they're going to have Notre Dame is going to have their hands full, especially if they think they're just going to throw the helmet on the field and they win. Boston College has some good players, and Bill O'Brien is a well-organized coach and somebody that does not like to lose. So I think he's going to get the boys up there in Boston College. The game, by the way, is on November 1st. It's at 3:30, and it's on ESPN. So that's Saturday at 3:30 on ESPN. It's a good time. Now, Coach, James and I were talking about the rest of the season, and what are the concerns? Well, of course, we want to come out of these games injury-free, if that's possible. Navy is the next opponent after Boston College. They are 7-0. Now, they have not played the same kind of schedule that Notre Dame has, but they're tenacious. They have a good quarterback. They have a scrambling offense. They run that triple option. They're defensive players. I remember playing against the Academy's coach. They're flying all over the place. And if you don't watch it, you can get your bell rung by them because they are really giving everything they have. The next game they have is against Pitt, and that's at Pitt. And this week they are playing Stanford, so we can get a chance to view both teams. But Pitt is 6-2. Pitt plays with the same kind of players that are recruited at Notre Dame. Historically, they're very good defensively, and I think they have a nice offense. So Pitt is somebody to really look out for. And the 22nd of November, they play Syracuse. Now, this is kind of a bittersweet game. Steve Angeli, who was quarterback here last year, was their starting quarterback for the first three or four games, but then blew out his Achilles. But he was the leading passer in the country at the time. And they have fell now to 3-5. So they are not playing as well, but they're playing competitive, and they play North Carolina this week. So we'll see what they have there. And then, of course, there's Stanford. Now, Stanford is 3-5. They are playing tough opponents, and they have a good administration there. Andrew Luck is the general manager there. And Wright, who used to be the quarterback with the Bills and then was the head coach with Indianapolis Colts, he is their coach right now, kind of an interim coach. But I think Stanford is building for the future, and I think you're going to see some great players coming out of Stanford. So Notre Dame can't just throw their hat on the field. They have to play football, and they have to take care of business, and most of all, not get hurt. We've had a couple of guys get hurt. Billy Sherrick is going to be out for 3 or 4 games, and he's the starting left guard. Our center is hurt for the year. And replacing Otting did well, but still, he's learning how to play on that first team. So a lot of things have happened, and we've got to keep the ship steering in the right position, Coach, and that's towards the playoffs. And I think all Notre Dame can do is keep winning. If they win,
well,
we
Frank,
can.
Well, Frank, I'll tell you, you're on a roll as far as Notre Dame. We can't go on to
much longer because I've got another segment, but I want to tell you one thing. The schedule, I think, and I think you and James would have to agree with me, favor Notre Dame as far as winning out, as long as they take care of business, and I think that's what you're trying to get to. But, buddy, I got to let you go, okay?
Coach, I really enjoyed being with you. I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you very much, Frank Pomarico, captain of the 1973 National Championship team, with our Notre Dame football report brought to us by Station Casinos, STN Sports App, the most trusted, reliable way to bet racing sports in the state of Nevada. Sign up today at any of their convenient locations throughout the state by just going to stnsports.com. That's stnsports.com for more information. So you're listening to our Coors Sports Topic Show. UNLV football up next with Mark Wallington. I'm Harvey Hyde. We'll be right back.